I welcome you all. This is a simulcast with a conference call. Every time you hear a ding, that there's somebody else joining in on the phone line. I welcome those who just came in. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
This is Terry from Dallas. Langstaff.
I heard Terry from Dallas.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
From Flagstaff.
Maryland.
Who's that?
Flagstaff. Maryland.
Hi, Maryland. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being here. And more people have joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Good evening, Morgan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you very much. Love to all.
Oh, love to you, Morgan. And I believe we heard Michael. Hello, Michael. Good evening, and welcome to that.
Hello, hi. Thank you.
Thanks, Steph. Maryland.
Hi, Maryland. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Right. Did you mute this line? That is, I think it's Dharmananda. Sorry, Dharmananda. I hear BBS coming back over your phone. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi. It's David Mesa.
Hey, Dave. Good evening, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And welcome to the next call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
All right. I know more people have joined in. We welcome you all. And if you want to, please say your name and location.
Chris in Scappoose, Oregon.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Julianne from San Diego.
Hi, Julianne. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Thank you very much. I'm fine. Thank you.
All right. Great. Thank you for being here. All right.
That's Terry's tooth.
Yes.
Is she going to be on the call tonight? Or?
I don't know yet. So waiting for Wynn. To say what's going to happen, but he's not here yet. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Anna from Washington.
Hi, Anna. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. Good evening and welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, hi. It's Sedona Jim. Good to hear your voice again.
Great to hear your voice as well, Jim. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Heis.
All right. Please take good care of Teddy, all right?
I will indeed.
All right. Thanks, man.
I just soup today.
Chicken noodle soup.
How's Terry feeling? Does she got the flu?
No, she had a dental surgery, which left her face a little contorted, which it can do with what they shoot into your mouth. But she said she's recovering, and that's important. So, and Wynn has been very good with her, and took her 3 hours down to Mesa to the dentist, and they stayed overnight and came back, and now it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Feed her lemon juice.
Lemon juice, yes.
It gets the soreness and whatever's in your gums out.
And lemon and clove and honey and that sort of thing. You're right. It's also very good for nausea.
Do you mix it with water? Do you mix it with water, the lemon juice, or how do you take it?
No, you just suck on the lemon, and it's like if you have problems or you get something stuck in your gum or
something. Hang on, guys. Someone rang in.
More people joined in. I welcome you all. If you have a chance, please tell your name and location.
Hi, this is Roger in Austin.
Roger, good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. More joined in. Welcome to you all. If you have a chance, please say your name or location.
Hey, it's Chris in Memphis.
Chris, welcome to the call. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Another day, my friend.
Yeah.
Good
evening,
Chris. It's Eric in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
Who is this from Santa Fe? Eric?
It's Eric.
Hi, Eric. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here, man.
Alan Butler.
Hey, Alan.
Hi, Alan. Good evening and welcome. Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Wynn, we played phone tag this week.
Yep.
What? Terry going to be on?
That's not unusual. Yes, she'll be on.
Okay.
Her phone line is open. Hello, Terry. Can you hear us?
Morph, morph, morph.
We may only do a couple questions.
Okay.
We'll see.
Hey, Wynn, did you ever go to Ringing Rocks State Park? It's like an hour north of Philadelphia.
No.
Okay. There's a field of rocks there. You can go on the internet and... If you hit them with a hammer, they ring. It reminds you of Michael Tellinger's story about his rocks, you know? And it's like this field of them. It doesn't look natural. The Park Service says it's natural, but I doubt it. I bet it was put there by human beings for some reason.
Or ETs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everyone. This is Edgar from the...
All right. I did turn off the ding.
Uh-huh.
We had a few more people join in. I welcome you. Still, if you have a chance, if you want to, please say your name or location.
There's an Edgar coming on.
Okay. However, we are glad you're here.
Can I hear Edgar?
Yeah.
Yes, this is Edgar, but not Casey.
Hi, Edgar.
I wished.
Yeah,
you never right? know.
That is not Edgar Casey, by the way.
David Wilcock said there could be more than one reincarnation of Edgar Casey at a time. That's his opinion.
Now, Sandra is here from Virginia Beach.
Yes, I am.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Is Terry here?
Terry, her line is open, but we cannot hear her.
Terry, are you muted? Or are you laying low? Hello, Terry.
Let's mute the lines over here. Hold on, I go.
Dude, modeling.
All callers are muted.
All right. Hello, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Can you
hear
me now?
Hello, Terry.
Hi. Can you
hear
me?
Yay.
Okay.
Loud and
clear. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Were you unmuted?
Yeah, I was unmuted. I didn't know. I think my phone was set up wrong. It was set up for something.
You're blaming your phone?
Yeah, because it was unmuted and it said it was connected and I could hear everybody.
I'm glad to hear, Terry. I hope you're doing well with your teeth.
Thank you.
She is a real trooper. She had to talk to the dentist to tell her that he wasn't going to do it unless he used anesthesia, because she always refuses anesthesia when she does things.
Yeah, he said that he wouldn't even do it unless I used anesthesia. Yeah. Can everybody still hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Are you present?
You.
All right. Shall we get the ball rolling?
Terry, should we ask some questions tonight, or should we play?
Sure. No,
sure
we should
what?
Ask. We should ask questions. Yeah.
All right.
Here we go, Wynn.
You now. All right, hang on a second. Yep. Wednesday.
Ready?
Yeah.
One second.
This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is October 1st, 2014, Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And we made it to October. Yay. If you saw our headline tonight on our email, Terry was is recovering from dental surgery and wasn't sure if we were going to, we just walked in the door just 40 minutes ago from Phoenix, which is where her dentist is, and we are just grouping our energies to be back in Sedona. And let me see, we do, Terry is saying now that she can answer some questions. So,
Elohim can answer.
Well, whoever talks to Terry can answer some questions. Thank you all for being here. And, you know, this is a grand experiment, truthfully, to be doing what we're doing live and making all of this accessible to so many people. And one thing I want to mention, okay? Oftentimes, people want to ask very sophisticated questions, questions about the history of things, you know, on our planet, questions about the negative. And we have to be careful how asking those questions. Do you know, we're in the public, and if you like us being around, if you like us being available, then we have to be careful, because we have to assume that all kinds of people are listening. And hi, guys, whoever's listening, we love you. And if we answer certain kinds of questions, we can put ourselves in jeopardy, okay? I mean, this is the real deal right now. We are in the world. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. And there's a lot of hidden agendas. And I know everybody would like to know the hidden agendas. And other people are dealing with that all over the internet, if you want to look. And the chances are, if you look, you look carefully enough, you'll discover them. But it's not our role to be the exposer of hidden agendas, as I see it. Other people are doing that really well. Even David Wilcock is doing that. It's our role to create the tools and the energy and the connection so that all of you who are paying attention, who choose to pay attention, can discover that there is intelligence at high levels that cares for you, that can connect with you, that can lift your vibration, that can help open your heart and help you on an individual basis to graduate this realm. I believe that's true. Now, I can't prove that because we're all still here. But this has been from the very, very beginning, from the very beginning of writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the agenda that has been presented from the Ra group and then from the Elohim group, that we're going through a division of souls. And in order to graduate to the next dimension or higher, your heart chakra has to be open slightly more than half. And that where the focus is to give you the key on how to do that, and to give you the inspiration on how to do that. It's not really a logical process. It's not logical in the sense that you can say, our chakra open, I want to be open, I want to be loving. It's a good idea to start out that way, to make that as an intention and a challenge. And but the actual process is kind of non-linear, not logical. And there's loads of keys that we give on these calls that if you apply them to your life, you'll probably see a shift. Even myself, you know, I have days that I'm contracted. Derry has days that she's contracted. And it's not like we walk around in as glowing cherubs, so to speak. And it's a constant exercise to stay above the waterline of all the negative influences on this planet. And as I have learned, one of the easiest and most effective ways is to be of service, genuine service. So that's why we show up 3 days a week, because it's our way of expressing service to this realm and being above the waterline. And hopefully many of you join us above the waterline. And in doing that, you get the reference points of how it feels to be above the waterline. And it's not easy. It's not easy because we've come into this realm, most of us, with baggage. Baggage that sometimes goes back to many, many, many lifetimes, and patterns and habits and unconscious conditioning. So our obstacles are not always obvious, but our oppression is obvious. We're oppressed and we don't know why, and we don't know why we can't get things going for us, and why we keep repeating the same patterns, and why we are sick or disabled or... And I went through a good portion of my life having those very same patterns. So the fact that I have made some progress in untangling my own patterns gives me a certain amount of wisdom on how it works and how one untangles patterns. And it creates a great determination, a great sense of intention, patience, and more to untangle your own patterns. And I know that the work we're doing on this line, I know from the emails I get, are helping many people do that. And I hope you're one of them. And, you know, we have many people going back into the spiritchannel.net archives, because there are 1,000 calls like this. And I know some people just download them, put them on their MP3 player or on their phone, and they play them when they're driving to work. They kind of, you know, just deluge themselves with the energy of these calls. And there's a lot of keys in there. And sooner or later, if you keep listening, you'll find a key for you that covers you personally, whether it's on a Wednesday call or a Sunday call or a Monday call. So please take advantage of that. That is a huge resource that we are putting up, no charge, 1,000 calls on the Spirit Channel. And it's my project at some point to better catalog all of those calls, so that it makes it easier for you to find the things that are going to help you. But, you know, you can just try looking at the list and saying, "Ning," and trust that Spirit will guide you to pick the right one. And you probably will if you do it with that in mind. thespiritchannel.net. And we've covered things from every point of view, from going through the history of the universe from the beginning of creation until now. And the ET influences on our planet. And what else? You know, just basic things of how to go through the kinds of patterns that we get stuck in, and help to master them. And we try our best, and there's a lot there. So just take advantage of it. It's there. Over 1,000 calls starting in 2009. And someday we'll start cataloging some of our sessions from 2002 to 2009, because we probably have another 1,000 or more of all kinds of things that could be valuable. So in any case, we're going to start and ask a few questions, and I'll see how Terry is, and we'll see if we're going to continue the questions or if we're going to just play some of a replay. Is that okay, Terry?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah.
As much as...
Okay.
Like, it's not me, you know, I'm ready to get out of the way.
You're ready to get out of the way. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Out of the way, Terry. Let me just see if there's any last minute, any questions to stick in there.
When you first finished the invocation, give them a little chance to introduce. Don't keep talking right then, but give them a little chance to do an introduction right there. And then you can say whatever.
The questions are?
Well, no, if you have something to say, then you can... say it after they do the introduction, because when you finish the invocation, they're ready to greet everybody, and so then let them greet everybody, and then you can do whatever you want to do.
Okay. All right, I'm just putting a couple of questions that just came in the list, and...
I might be a little bit unclear because I had that oral surgery and it's swollen, and so I have to learn to talk a little different for right now. So please forgive me if I'm not exactly as clear in enunciation as usual.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just about ready. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy from all those present who would like to participate in the creation of that, honoring free will and the sovereignty of each person's individual soul, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access. And anything not of that nature must leave now. We invite our sources to come in and give a greeting to our group.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. It is our joy and honor to be with each and every one of you. And we come directly to you. We do not come through the radio, the telephone. We bypass all that, and it is the voice that comes through the media channels. And it fills our energy heart with joy to make this connection and to be available to each and every one of you. It is not our job to give partial love to one and withdraw it from another. We love all, and we see that if someone is being negative, underneath they are a spark of God, and they are playing out their role as they see it to be played. And there are reasons for all behaviors, even if the behaviors don't seem correct. It does not mean that those behaviors should not be punished if they are a negative, something, say, a bank robber. And the punishment of the behavior can help to make a boundary that the person with that behavior can learn that to be a part of society, it is not right to practice that behavior. Underneath it all, we love each and every one of you, and each and every one that is not listening also. It is not our job to take sides in a war. It is not our job to broadcast confidentialities. It is a privacy zone for an individual that can be protected. We thank each and every one for being here, and turn this back over to Wynn.
Thank you. So our first question tonight is from Chris Blair, and in Memphis, Tennessee. I've heard drugs damage the energy body. To what extent, and can it be repaired? And he didn't ask this, but I should say, how can it be repaired? And of course, he says, it applies to me personally. Thank you.
We take a look, and the answer is for you personally also. The drugs can make an environment of, in the aura, a leakage of energy, and can make a path for future leakage of energy. It can put one with the his energy, which has been connected with his life and connected with others. It can bring an openness to other connections in, which may be a violation of one's space. Can it be repaired through rebuilding of the energy bodies, through good food, through meditation, through dismissing of other energies that have come in that you feel are not your own, to not be angry, but to dismiss them and reestablish and rebuild your energy boundary. It can be, we suggest a good diet and meditation. When you feel in the meditation that the energy is being rebuilt, then increase the energy in that area. Establish boundaries between you and others so that you protect your energy and do not leak energy out and lose your own control. This will help you rebuild. Yes, it is possible to rebuild. So let those instances of drugs go and dismiss them. I don't know if I'm still on the air. This is Terry. Marco Omaolas, the dentist, is calling, so give me a minute.
Okay. If you're here in quiet space, because Terry just answered the phone, she's talking to her dentist, okay, who's probably checking on her for her surgery. So let's just, while we're waiting, hold a space of prayer, intention for our planet and for ourselves.
I am back. Hello?
All right, I'm here.
Yes, good. Yes, that was Dr. Margolis, my dentist, and he wanted to check on me and see how I was doing. It was very, very good. He said, you know, you trust me, and it's good that I trust my patients once in a while, because he did a third of the treatment for, and let me pay for it later, because I didn't have the money to pay for the whole treatment. And he said it would have been stupid to just do two-thirds of the treatment and not do the whole thing.
All right.
Thank you, okay. And excuse this interruption, and I'll get back into trance.
Let's go go back into the space. We bring in the light. We bring in the energy of our sources. And another question from Chris Blair that I'm going to ask is, what are the major patterns that I need to take a look at during this time in my life?
Thank you.
I think he means the patterns that are holding him back.
Yes, thank you. One of the patterns is to watch yourself and see when it is that you feel that you have been taken over by other energies, whether it is the people around you, somebody that you're with, where you have lost your center, and where you're, then you feel like your energy goes to a place that you are not building or holding on your own, but it goes leaking out and you have lost control in that area that is somewhat based upon the drug experience, which heightens the letting of other people to ride right over your energy. You need to hold your energy as a jewel. It is your energy from which you give and take and resonate with. That is the biggest pattern to watch. And if you see energy leakage or the desire to be part of a group when it doesn't seem to be suiting you or your energy and you find yourself letting your life force go without replenishment, just then be by yourself if necessary and reestablish your own jewel radiant energy within yourself. That is the biggest pattern. Eating well, of eating things that you feel build your energy and your strength, will also help you. The idea is rebuilding your energy centers, not giving them away or letting the energy leak out.
Thank you. You know, just as a comment to that, not for Chris in particular, but in general, that as we start going up our inner ladder, we all have old relationships that support old patterns. And the way people go up the ladders, they go up, they go back down, they go up, they go back down. But it's kind of like an ascending sine wave if you let it occur. And when you go into the lower part of your cycle, it's very tempting to call an old relationship up, or not an old, but somebody that's still there, that tends to reinforce the negative part of your cycle. Like, oh, isn't the world terrible? Isn't everybody like this? Or let's get high, or, you know, whatever. And there was somebody in our life right now who is in that process. And she was going to go visit somebody who was like an old part of her cycle. And I told her, I suggested that I don't suggest you visit her quite yet, because you're just on the verge of moving up. And then she didn't. And then she said that was really, she looked at it and said, that would have thrown me back into my old patterns to do that. So this is something to observe, because when you feel a desperation energy, and it's okay to feel a desperation energy, it
it's like holding through it until you go beyond it. And some people call this the dark night of the soul. This is like when you really face yourself. You know what your patterns are. And you say, I am not going to go back into that pattern. And you have to sometimes clench your teeth because you go into the desperation part of yourself. And it's so tempting to go back to a pattern or a person that gives some kind of immediate relief, it seems to, but it doesn't last. It's just a distraction, like smoking some dope or having some sex or whatever. Now, if you do it, don't judge yourself, okay? But it's like if somebody really loves and cares for you, then sex is a great thing that can support your energy build. But if it's just a low-level lust kind of relationship, oftentimes it just puts you back into an addictive pattern of the lower chakras. So each of us has to do this, has to face this. Okay, next question here is from, let's see here. Just a second. This is from Don Herman, and he says, you know, is it easier to connect with people when they are in the vicinity of sacred mountains or other Earth energy centers? If so, why? Thank you, Don.
Thank you. We take a look and see different sacred energy centers have their own energy vortex, their own energy vortex that can be duplicated by the people that are in the vicinity of that energy center. It can, in some cases, orient them in a way to be more open and to connect with others around them. It can calm their own voices inside their mind chatter. It can provide a silence that makes it easier for people to hear each other and to connect with some energy centers, sacred vortexes that are inhabited by spirit forms. It could potentially detract from the silence. It depends upon the sacred site and the energy configuration at that site. Does it quiet the mind or does it add energy and make it harder to still one's mind and be open? Thank you.
And I would say that does not just work for sacred energy centers. It works for all environments. If you go to a very high meditation in your area, if somebody holds the energy and you go there, oftentimes people will connect with each other at a higher level because it's opened up their chakras. There are certain public places like art museums which have a higher vibration.
than another place. And the people tend to pick up on the higher vibration of an art museum. And you're there, you may meet people at that vibration. Or even coffee shops. It's like if there is a coffee shop that has the right vibration and ambience, then you may start talking to somebody there at a higher level. And next question here. And the next question is from, I'm finally getting to this question, and thank you for being patient. This is from, hang on, Mary, wait, I don't got it yet, it's way at the top. This is from Mary, God, where is it? Here it is. Mary in M House, Texas, outside of Corsicana, Texas, who has been listening to our replays from almost the beginning. It's like 1,000 calls. So thank you, Mary. Thank you for your energy support of the work. And she wanted to ask about what are the major patterns. She has the same question as Chris. What are some of the patterns that are hindering my own growth? Thank you.
Thank you. If you look at training you receive when you are, when you have been a child, when you were a child, the trainings that you have received and have instilled a belief system, and this answer is for you. What are the belief systems that were instilled in you when you are a child that are so ingrained that you feel that that's the way things really are, but then when you look around you, other people do not have those belief systems, and sometimes it is irritating because it doesn't seem like they're acting right. But take inventory of what your belief systems are and how they relate to your life and your life with your family and friends, and see if their belief systems are at odds with yours, and then analyze whether yours are in alignment with a good life, with an ethical life, and when you allow others to have their belief systems and don't try to put your belief system into to fit into their look, their life. The first thing is, what is their belief system and what is your belief system? And treat it not like they are wrong, but like it is a fact of life, that whatever it is they believe is what they believe. It is a fact of life. What you believe is what you believe, and that is a fact of life. Then you can start from there and decide if it is something that someone else needs to be taught, how can you move them from where they are to where you can see that it would be better for their life to be without affecting their free will? In other words, is there a way that they could be taught that here's a different way where you are not violating their own free will? Because if you try to intercede in the middle of a belief system they have without moving from step to step to help train them or to help show them, it is merely judgmental and it will be an upset and it will be a division between you. Or maybe in some cases it is your belief system to take a look at and see if it needs to be shifted in any way. Thank you.
Thank you. And I would say, even those of you that discover our calls and start to say, this is real, and that there are actually group souls that are helping us, the Elohim group and the Ra group, most often this is something for you to use with yourself and not to feel a sense of superiority or I know something that other people don't know over other people, because that separates you from them. And that use this very sacred and special new information and awareness not to create a belief system that says, I know stuff and religious people don't know it, or I know stuff and these people don't know it. The art of this is to internalize it so that you can be around people and not judge them and truly accept however they believe and tune in to the loving nature. And you can't always do that, but at least set that as a goal instead of creating a new belief system that actually serves the function of separating yourself from others instead of making you feel more connected. Resources, want to make any comment on that?
Give us a moment. Would you repeat the last part of that sentence?
Well, the idea of taking the new awareness that there are two group souls, the Elohim group and the Ra group, and internalizing that as a reality, and then suddenly having a new belief system that can cause you to feel superior or knowing more than other people, and separating yourself because of the new belief system.
Thank you. I guess that seems funny to us that someone would think that because they know us or they know information from us, that they would be above someone else. It is so foreign to our way of thinking. hard to put ourselves in that place. We do not have jealousy. We do not have superiority.
Thank you. I know that's true. And I just wanted to say that. So if someone has that other pattern, or they think, you know, it gives them another reason to feel special over other people, that they should look at that pattern and see if they can't regroup it. Because the goal is not to feel special, but to feel connected. Another question here, Dave Ferringer. I don't understand your question. Ask it again. Make it more detailed, okay?
Could you read
a question? No, I'm not even, pardon me, I don't mean to. He uses words in it that I don't, what is ego and what is, how are ego and validation connected? And I'm not even sure I understand what he means by validation, okay? So, doesn't make sense to me.
Yes.
Let's see here.
So go ahead and reword your question in more detail.
I mean, I usually
can interpret
questions.
It will allow you to think about it, too.
Yeah. I mean, what is the defining line between ego and validation? That doesn't make sense to me, okay? All right.
Ego is something that the individual himself expresses. Validation is something that comes from the outside and is given to the person. Validation is not ego. If someone has done a great service and they say, I have done a great service, and it is validated by the information that is coming to him, that is not ego to say it is accurate truth.
Thank you. A question from Julianne here, and then we only got a minute left. I think I will answer this. Julianne, we have answered this question in great detail on our calls, and on particularly on one of the workshops we did on Egypt, which is available. It's called egypt.intelligent-infinity.com. And her question is, there's similarities between some early Egyptian religion gods, the Catholic faith, the satanic religions, for example. The Trinity in Egypt was Osiris, Isis, and Horus, the Catholics, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the satanic church, Satan, Antichrist, and false prophet. The Catholic Church has even patterned Mother Mary holding baby Jesus after Isis holding Horus. The Egyptians worship Ra, the sun god. The Catholic Church has the Son of God used as the host to represent his body. And the answer to this is fairly complicated, but the very simple answer is there have been real entrances of the Ra group, legitimate interventions by the Ra group throughout history. And these legitimate interventions have usually been co-opted by the negative that use the symbols for negative purposes as opposed to the original intention. So for, you know, and I went through this in the workshop, Egypt. intelligent-infinity.com, that I happen to have a great part of the lineage in with Egyptian history, and I go through that in that workshop, and it's a four-hour workshop, goes through all the backup to this. And on that note, let me see, Sherry, yes, Sherry. Yes.
Pardon?
Do our sources want to say something?
We love you, each and every one of you. And we are there for you at a very high frequency. And we hear you. We sense you. We see you. You each have an energy light. And when we intersect with your energy light, you may see the color pink, and it might come even in a photograph that is taken of you. It is a sacred moment in time when we get to connect with you. And we thank Terry for doing this channeling and Win, for being here, and each of you for being here. And we send great love to each of you. We impart it to you. Thank you.
We thank you for being here, and we thank everyone who's on the call supporting them.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, Win.
We're all
Terry.
Unmuted.
Thank you, Win.
Feel
you
better, Terry. Feel better, Terry.
Thanks, Win. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks, Win.
Feel better, Win.
Thank you all.
Thanks, everybody.
Love to all. Be well.
Be well.
Sunshine to you all.
Thank you very much. Love you.
You're well.
Thank you, Terry.
The better all you feel, the better we feel. Okay? So, thank you.
Your conference recording.